Today's reading is from Esther, beginning in the first chapter. This happened in the days of Ahasuerus, the same Ahasuerus who ruled over 127 provinces, from India to Ethiopia. In those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in the citadel of Susa, in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his officials and ministers. The army of Persia and Media and the nobles and governors of the provinces were present, while he displayed the great wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and pomp of his majesty for many days, 180 days in all. When these days were completed, the king gave for all the people present in the citadel of Susa, both great and small, a banquet lasting for 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Furthermore, Queen Vashti gave a banquet for the women in the palace of King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Kerkas, the 7 eunuchs who attended him, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing the royal crown, in order to show the peoples and the officials her beauty, for she was fair to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come to the king's command conveyed by the eunuchs. At this, the king was enraged, and his anger burned within him. Then the king consulted the sages who knew the laws, for this was the king's procedure towards all who were versed in law and custom. Then Memcumen said in the presence of the king and the officials, "Not only has Queen Vashti done wrong to the king, but also to all the officials and all the peoples who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen will be made known to all women, causing them to look with contempt at their husbands, since they will say, 'King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come.' This very day the noble ladies of Persia and Media, who have heard of the queen's behavior, will rebel against the king's officials, and there will be no end of contempt and wrath. If it pleases the king, let a royal order go out from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it may not be altered, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she." Now there was a Jew in the citadel of Susa, whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjaminite. Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem among the captives carried away with King Jeconiah of Judah, whom King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had carried away. Mordecai had brought Hadassah, that is Esther, his cousin, for she had neither father nor mother. The girl was fair and beautiful, and when her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her as his own daughter. So when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in the citadel of Susa in the custody of Haggai, Esther was also taken into the king's palace and put in the custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women. The girl pleased him and won his favor, and he quickly provided her with cosmetic treatments and her portion of food, and with 7 chosen maids from the king's palace, and advanced her and her maids to the best place in the harem. Esther did not reveal her people or her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her not to tell. Every day Mordecai would walk around in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and how she fared. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Peg had some names to pronounce. My kids, like most kids, like to procrastinate at bedtime by asking me to make up and tell a story. A scary one. A wild one with bad guys and heroes, and make it really long because you love us so much. But I am zapped for creative energy by 8 p.m., especially while we've all been staying home or distance learning or struggling to work between kid snack requests. So I do not invent these stories upon request and out of thin air. I borrow almost all of them from Scripture. And they are smart. They are quick to stop me a few sentences into the story and say, "Is this from the Bible?" And I'm quick to lie right back, "No, it's from my mouth. Shh." But they are from the Bible. Scary ones, wild ones with bad guys and heroes. And then once I'm finished telling, I confess my lie. And they say, "I knew it." But then they agree it was a worthy story. And they don't actually mind all that much. This is one of their favorite bedtime stories. I'm going to tell it to you the same way I tell it to my children. Scary and wild with bad guys and heroes. So snuggle up. Here we go. King Xerxes is king of a really big kingdom called Persia, which was home to so many people from so many different places who spoke a lot of different languages and believed in a lot of different kinds of gods. He liked to have a lot of parties for his friends and helpers. They would drink wine and eat big fancy meals and tell him he was doing a really great job, even when he was not doing a really great job. He liked being the boss because he got to make all the laws and everyone else had to do whatever he said. The other thing he really liked about being the king was having a beautiful queen. Her name was Vashti, and she had to obey all of his commands too. So when he and his friends were having a party, he called for her to come to the party room. When she got there, he was rowdy and sweaty and bossy and showing off in front of all of his friends. He told her to dance so they could all look at her body. He thought her body belonged to him because he was the king and everything belonged to him. But Queen Vashti was sick and tired of doing whatever King Xerxes said. She did not feel like dancing for these guys and wanted them to know that the only boss of Vashti's body was Vashti. So she said, "No." And then all my kids go, "No!" King Xerxes got really embarrassed and angry. He threatened her and demanded that she danced. Well, now Vashti was definitely not dancing. No, no, no. No means no. She left the party and went to bed. King Xerxes and all of his friends were speechless. They could not believe somebody said to the king, "No." His friends had an idea. "You should punish Vashti. Take away her crown and her power as queen. Banish her from the kingdom. We have to teach Vashti and all of the women in Persia a lesson. Men are in charge, and the women should do whatever they say. Let's make sure that men stay more powerful than women." King Xerxes liked this idea and banished Vashti. She had to give back all of her queen stuff and move far away as a punishment for saying no. That meant that King Xerxes needed a new queen. His friends organized a beauty contest, inviting all of the gorgeous women in Persia who weren't married to come to the king's house so he could meet them and choose his favorite one. The winner of the contest would be the new queen. There was a Jewish man named Mordecai who worked in the king's house, so he knew all about the contest. He'd been raising his young cousin Esther because she was a little girl whose parents had died. He took care of her. He told Esther about the beauty contest but warned her not to tell anyone that she was Jewish. He wanted to make sure she would be safe at the king's house, since some of the king's friends and other leaders were known for bullying Jewish people. So Esther went to the beauty contest, and she won. The king chose Esther to be his new queen. She was both excited and scared. Excited because being the queen sounded amazing. Scared because she knew what happened to that last queen, Vashti. She didn't know how the king would react if he ever found out her secret, that she was Jewish. Shortly after Esther became queen, her cousin Mordecai overheard two of the king's servants whispering about a plan to kill the king. Mordecai told Esther what he'd heard, and Esther was able to warn the king before he got hurt. This made King Xerxes love and trust Esther even more. She had saved his life. But there was more trouble brewing. The king gave extra power to one of his closest friends, Haman. Haman was so excited about using his power to boss people around that he asked the king to make a new rule. Whenever people see Haman, they should bow down to him because he's very important now. Haman noticed that Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him, and it made him so angry. He wanted everyone to treat him like a god, but Mordecai wouldn't do it. He was Jewish, and he didn't bow down to people, no matter how important they were. He only worshipped the one true God. So Haman decided he didn't just want to punish Mordecai. He wanted to punish all the Jewish people in Persia. If they wouldn't bow down to him, they would have to die. And he came up with a plan he knew he could use to convince King Xerxes to agree. So by now you know that King Xerxes is impressionable. He wants his friends to like him, and he usually agrees to the plans that they come up with. Well, the same thing happened again. Haman convinced him to do something terrible, mean, and hurtful to a bunch of people by making Xerxes believe being the boss was more important than being kind. Letters were sent all over Persia telling people they were ordered to bully and hurt and kill their Jewish neighbors on a special holiday set aside to get rid of everybody who worshipped God and wouldn't bow down to Haman. Isn't that terrible? That a king would encourage people to hurt each other? To treat one group of people like they don't really matter? To destroy the Jewish people who had already lost so much and had a hard time belonging in Persia? But don't give up quite yet. Mordecai decides to tell Queen Esther. She's been married to the king for a few years by now, and she has power too. Maybe Mordecai and Esther can figure out a way to stop this law before people get hurt. Mordecai asks Esther to meet him so he can tell her how frightened the Jewish people feel. He reminds her that she's the queen, but she's also Jewish. These are her people, and she needs to help them. They need someone with power to say something, to do something, to be brave and try to help before it's too late. Esther is really nervous. She likes to be the queen, and while she's scared and sad for her people who will get hurt according to this law, she doesn't think she can do anything to help. Besides, she can't just go and talk to the king. He has yet another rule that no one can come and talk to him unless he sends them an invitation. She could get in really big trouble by showing up uninvited. But Mordecai has known Esther her whole life. He helped raise her. He loves her and knows that she is stronger and smarter and tougher than she thinks. So he says, "Esther, I know you feel really safe around people who know you as the queen. This bad news probably sounds really far away from your life with beautiful clothes and a crown and a king. But don't forget that you're also Jewish. You can't hide away and wait for this to fix itself. If the king's friends find out that you are Jewish, you could be banished like Vashti or worse. Your people need you. Persia needs you. What if you are both queen and Jewish so you can do something really special in this moment? What if you're the hero that we're all waiting for?" Esther is still scared, but she knows that Mordecai is right. She does have a lot of power, a lot more power than anybody else who's in real danger. So she agrees to go and talk to the king, even though she's frightened, even though it might not work. Because trying something is better than nothing. And she's prepared to get in trouble, just like Vashti, because it's the right thing to do. Esther goes back to her bedroom, and she puts on her most royal and beautiful robes. She takes a deep breath and goes and finds the king. She stands outside his throne room, and when he sees her, he's not mad. He's glad, because she looks beautiful, and whenever he sees her, he remembers that time she saved his life. He invites her into the throne room and says, "Esther, I will give you whatever you ask for. Even if you ask for half of my kingdom, I will give it to you." Boy, did she catch him in a good mood. She's nervous, but she has a plan, and she's sticking to it. "King Xerxes, if it pleases you, I would like to cook dinner for you and your best friend Haman tomorrow night. Please come and eat with me." And the king agrees. While Esther prepares the rest of her plan and the dinner, Haman is outside, marching around, making everybody bow down to him. He has so much power, but it still bothers him that Mordecai won't bow down. And Mordecai doesn't even act frightened around him, and that is enough to ruin Haman's whole day. But Haman tries to focus on the bright side. Queen Esther and King Xerxes have invited him, just him, to dinner tomorrow night, and that makes him feel very powerful and important. He can't wait. To celebrate, he makes a plan and builds this big stage in the middle of town where he will kill Mordecai right after his fancy dinner. He convinces himself that that's all he has to do, and then he'll be happy. That night, the king can't sleep. He starts looking through old record books and finds the article written about that time his servants almost killed him. The article says that Mordecai was the one who warned Esther about the plot. Oh, so Mordecai also saved his life. He had no idea. He would need to reward Mordecai for such a brave deed. King Xerxes sees Haman and asks for his advice. "Haman, how do you think I should reward a man who deserves all my honor and thanks?" Haman thinks the king is talking about him, so he starts to list all the things he wants for himself. "Oh, I know, you should give him royal robes, just like you wear, and a kingdom and a crown and a horse to ride around town, and new rules that make this man feel even more important than he already is." The king agrees, because he always does, and Haman is so excited, thinking he's going to get all these things, but they're for Mordecai. When they sit down to eat at Queen Esther's feast, she tells the king she's concerned about this plan to kill all the Jewish people and tells him that she's Jewish too. The king is furious. "I don't even remember making this rule. Who wrote this law and signed my name?" Esther points to Haman, and the king is so angry. Haman has used all of his power and taken advantage of it. So the king decides that they would switch places. Mordecai would get all of Haman's power and money, and Haman would be killed as a punishment. The king and queen set up new rules that encourage the Jewish people to defend themselves, to fight back if they were bullied, and the king told everyone that a Jewish man named Mordecai was now one of the king's closest friends and helpers. And since the king didn't want to harm Jewish people, most of the people in Persia decided not to fight at all. Only Haman's friends and those who really hated the Jewish people fought, and in the end they were defeated. Queen Esther called for a celebration throughout Persia for all of the Jewish people to remember this really important day. When the Jewish people were blamed and bullied by powerful people, but kept their faith in the one true God. When the queen was afraid, but acted with courage anyway. When the Jewish people were saved from mass murder. When word spread through all of Persia, the Jewish people have a place in this community. They belong here, and we are a better empire because of their faith and their leadership and their love in God. To this day, Jewish communities celebrate Purim. Reading this story about Esther at a great feast that gathers generations for theater and prophecy. Together they remember that there will always be Hamans, but also Mordecais. There will always be Xerxes, but also Esthers. It's a reminder of the people's bravery and beauty and belonging in every generation. And an invitation to consider. Perhaps I have come into power and more than one identity for just such a time as this. people of God. When your identities stir and collide, be bold voices for one another, a sacred community here to remind us and the whole world what is possible when we feel alone or scared, when we go ahead and act for the sake of community and courage anyway. Thanks be to God. Amen.